last day. One day relatively quite soon, the administration under President Barack Hussein Obama will come to an end and enter the realm of American history. 8 years will it pass, true, but it will pass with a swiftness that is difficult to articulate. Barack Obama, son of a Kenyan goat herd and unsuccessful civil servant, this most unlikely of candidates, will yield his place to another. And while history will have certainly been made, the stuff of books, museums, and presidential trivia, another kind of history, a quieter kind, will also have been made. The history of Black America, written more in song than on paper, will record not the best of times, but far too often the worst of times. Unemployment, dropout rates, foreclosures, mass incarceration levels, each and all of these will show significant gains, and paradoxically, the worsening state of the national Black community. 8 years will have passed, and by every measure, Black life will have become more unsteady, more challenging, more raucous, and more brutal. Some will say that the concerns of Black America shouldn't be his, for he is president of all America. But before all others, Black Americans have been his most loyal constituency. Of all constituencies, why should those who are the most supportive get the least of everything else? What kind of political logic is that? Moreover, what other constituency would accept it? Africans in America have had a long and tortured history of loyalty to institutions that do not return those loyalties. Colonial governments, political parties, the army, state governments, and yes, presidents. Yes, even Black ones. Symbols are powerful things, but when they are empty of substance, they become hollow, like now. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
The Dorner Dilemma. The short but utterly fascinating post-police career of Christopher Dorner has captured the attention of millions. Dorner, a fired Los Angeles cop, vowed war against his former colleagues and almost made good his threats. Citing the police department's institutional racism and an unfair disciplinary proceeding which resulted in his firing, the ex-cop pledged to exact revenge and unleashed a deadly rain of bullets on several of his fellow officers. Trained as a sniper in the agency's elite squads, Dorner sent shockwaves of terror through the highest ranks of the agency by targeting the families of officers. For 10 days, he struck and moved, leaving the urban landscape for nearby mountainous territory. After a series of shootings, he escaped to an abandoned cabin where over 100 cops converged to retire the former cop by fire. Using pyrotechnics, they launched a grenade into the cabin, covered the doors, and waited for the raging fire to do its work. The blaze raged for hours, the last weapon used in Christopher Dorner's war. We're left with pondering the forces which triggered Dorner's war. Fired after a questionable internal hearing, this Black cop turned on the very forces that trained and nurtured him. He was called a monster and worse by reporters, pundits, and police. But if so, he was a monster of the LAPD's making. What did he see? What did he experience on the inside that turned his heart to ice? This we may never know. But we await the next Dorner, angry, embittered, soured on the job, and determined to deliver his own burn notice. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
A death sentence for defending her client, Len Stewart. Len Stewart, a brilliant gung-ho trial attorney, has a stellar history that many attorneys would kill for. A defense attorney who truly fights for her clients, and far more often than not, brings them home. She has battled some of the biggest cases in New York history, beating quite a few, and beating the government as well. After her representation of Egyptian cleric Omar Abdel Rahman for daring to speak out publicly in his defense and delivering a message of his thoughts to the public, she was charged with conspiracy, providing material support to terrorists, convicted, sentenced to, after an appeal, 10 years in federal prison, and disbarred. Lynn, 73, is a breast cancer survivor, and recently the cancer has returned. Her treatment in federal custody is, to say the least, far from optimal. That 10 years, increased by order of the Second Circuit Court of Appeals from 28 months, may prove a death sentence for a courageous, principled, and brilliant defense lawyer who's been a bane to the state since she first walked into a courtroom. Andrew Napolitano, former judge and conservative Fox TV contributor, has called the Stewart conviction a perverse victory for the Justice Department and a travesty of justice designed to intimidate all lawyers from vigorously advocating for their clients. To find out how you can help win justice for Lynn Stewart, contact lynnstewart.org. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
The Dorner Manifesto. In the news business, yesterday's news is, well, no longer news. It's stale, old, and useless. Yet this rush for what's new often ignores that which bears closer scrutiny. I speak of the memorandum written by LAPD's former elite officer Christopher Jordan Dorner, reportedly later killed during a fiery armed conflict in the hills of Southern California. This document, titled Last Resort, runs some 10 pages long, and news accounts have not given it a full or fair portrayal. Many, perhaps most reporters opined that he was obviously crazy, thereby suggesting that his own stated basis for his anti-LAPD actions were unworthy of consideration. These were the journalists who performed their services to the powerful rather than purveyors of information to the public. One well-known journalist all but bragged that he received a package from Dorner, yet didn't read it. He dutifully turned it over to police. Amazing. I don't have internet access, but someone had the kindness to send me a hard copy text. What I read was, to say the least, stunning. If you want to see behind the so-called thin blue line, I urge you to read it. It really is a remarkable first-person account of his life in the LAPD and his treatment there, including his vigorous responses when someone used a racial epithet in his presence. In one example, he cites the free use of the N-word, nigger, by a cop in his vehicle. He told the guy it was unacceptable, and the guy repeated it. Dorner stopped the car, grabbed the offender, and choked him. When the incident was reported, none but one of the cops there admitted they heard the slur. But I again urge you, read it for yourself. It'll give you insight into the inner workings of the LAPD, but more importantly, also of the media. Dorner repeatedly implored journalists to investigate his claims, but there's little chance now. It's old news. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Between Quavangene and a hard place. Never let it be said that I don't have a sense of humor. For those who know me will attest that I can be as silly as a goose. I find laughter healing and restorative. And yet, some attempts at comedy leave me cold, especially when the butt of the jokes are black people or children. Which brings me to the recent dust-up surrounding the adorable little girl, Quavangene Wallace, the leading actor in Beasts of the Southern Wild, a film on Katrina-era New Orleans. According to published reports, the satirical news journal The Onion referred to the child with an epithet, shall we say, which rhymes with the word runt. Incredible. The Onion promptly issued its mea culpas, Our bad. Sorry. But the damage is done. A child, a brilliant, beautiful little girl, no less, is slapped with a word that shouldn't exist in her 9-year-old vocabulary. Would the child actress Tatum O'Neill ever have been subjected to such a term? The preteen actress Dakota Fanning? I think not. But in this post-racial era, where black folks are fair game once more, and silenced by the shimmering spectacle of a black family in the White House, a black child may be slimed by the most sexist, most objectifying of terms. Misogyny, an embryo. But don't worry. It's just a joke. Can't you take a joke? From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.